Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Nice to get back to the usual routine. We should also tell you today that we're sponsored by ZipRecruiter. And right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on ZipRecruiter a little bit later in our conversation. And Jim, at the time that we're recording this, it hasn't actually happened yet, but by the time folks listen to this, we're quite confident that we're going to have good news out of the U.S. Senate today. It will likely require Mike Pence breaking a tie, but Betsy DeVos will be confirmed, or by this time perhaps has been confirmed, as the next Secretary of Education. A cabinet appointee apparently has never had to go to a tie-breaking vote, but things are not normal this year. We talked last week about the defections of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. The good news is that they were able to drag zero additional Republicans over to the opposition, and it looks like a woman who's got a long track record of championing quality education for everyone is on her way to becoming Secretary of Education.
Indeed, Greg. And it's kind of really surprising that if you had, you know, early in the selection process of Trump's cabinet, you'd said who's going to have the most opposition. You could pretty obviously see Rex Tillerson was not a traditional pick for Secretary of State. Got that medal from Putin. People felt like he was going to be too friendly to Russia. Ben Carson be the first to tell you he's not really a housing policy expert, not really a natural pick for the housing and urban development. But it's pretty clear the most vehement opposition has been to Betsy DeVos, who and the arguments that I have seen against her don't really fly with me. And I guess the big question is, what do you think of America's public school system right now? I'm sure that, you know, no doubt I love my kids' teachers. They're doing a great job. I'm lucky enough to live in a school district where the elementary schools are really good. But there are a lot of schools in this country that aren't that good. And we kind of are left with this this status quo that has been really disappointing for a lot of American families for a really long time. And one of the things that I think is probably the strongest argument to DeVos, who is a strong advocate for school choice, for vouchers, for a lot of, you know, let's say big time, large scale structural reforms to the education system. Look, we've tried the nice approach. We've tried the nice guy approach. We've tried tweaking. People can pick their pinpoint for when the education reform crusade began. I think, Reagan era report, A Nation at Risk, came out in 1983 and was the first to really say, hey, we're really falling behind other countries and our schools are failing our students. We've seen this through administration after administration, Republican administration, Democrat administration, No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top. We've seen all this nice tweaking on the margins, and none of it has really gotten us where we want to go. And in fact, the most recent time they studied the national testing, they actually backslid. And you look at the numbers. I was surprised how bad it was, Greg. 64% of fourth graders, 66% of eighth graders not proficient in reading. I mean, that's practically two-thirds. Math, 60% of fourth graders, 67% of eighth graders not considered proficient. Both of those are slight declines from 2013. For most of the past three decades, we have been stagnant. You know what I'm willing to try, Greg? Betsy DeVos. Let's see how it goes. If she's bad, we can get rid of her. But I think at this point, the argument for the status quo is empty, and I'm willing to try somebody who's willing to make a bigger and more sweeping change. And the arguments from she, as I saw on Facebook the other day, she's destroyed all the public schools in Detroit, Greg. Destroyed them. There are none of them. As somebody observed on Twitter, hey, is anything else going on in Detroit that might be troubling the schools at all? Anything? Anything in the city? You know? Well, they need RoboCop. Anyway, the point being that it's really interesting how much the flaws of the Detroit public school system, people are willing to put entirely on vouchers. No, they were doing just fine until the voucher program came along. So I find the arguments unpersuasive. I think it's, you know, people are, use their term, whether they think it's disgraceful or really disappointing to see Murkowski and Collins flip on this. But I also find really interesting not a single Democrat is willing to defy the teachers' unions on this. And I think that's a really big indicator of where the centers of power are in the Democratic Party today. And, It's good for DeVos. She'll have to deliver. Hopefully we see really good results from this. I don't think any Republican expected to have to spend this much political capital getting DeVos confirmed.
No, nobody thought that. And I think a lot of conservatives were excited about the pick. But given some of the others that you already mentioned, I think a lot of people thought that the tooth and nail fight would be over someone else. And maybe there still will be another one. I'm sure the Democrats will largely oppose a lot of the remaining votes, including Tom Price and Jeff Sessions and so forth. When it comes to Betsy DeVos, Jim, it's always a good idea to not necessarily like someone just because people you disagree with strongly on an issue don't like them. But when you see the inbox from the NEA and the American Federation of Teachers and Randy Weingarten and those people just going apoplectic in their press releases, that's when you kind of sit back and go, okay, good pick, Trump. Good pick.
I was about to say, this is the worst possible choice. This, you know, all right, let's try that. Let's just see what happens. I know this has you apoplectic, but I'm willing to roll the dice. Let's see what happens.
And Jim, we just have received word. It is now official. Here's Vice President Pence.
On this vote, the yeas are 50. The nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
So Betsy DeVos will now be Secretary of Education. Good martini. All right, on to the bad martini now. And Jim, I don't know how much you watch Saturday Night Live anymore. I certainly don't watch it with any regularity. But on Sunday, I saw the skit where Melissa McCarthy came on and did the Sean Spicer impression. And obviously it's over the top. It's what they do. But there's a lot of funny material in there. And apparently, the Trump administration not enjoying it very much. First of all, here's a quick clip from that skit where McCarthy, as Spicer, comes out and talks about how he got off to a rocky relationship with the press.
When I say rocky start, I mean it in the sense of Rocky the movie, because I came out here to punch you in the face. And also, I don't talk so good. Now, I'd like to begin today by apologizing on behalf of you to me for how you have treated me these last 2 weeks. And that apology is not accepted. Because I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to swallow gum and I'm here to take names.
And so here's the Politico story now, just that came out yesterday. The devastating Saturday Night Live caricature of Spicer that aired over the weekend, in which a belligerent Spicer was spoofed by a gum-chopping, super-soaker-wielding Melissa McCarthy in drag, did not go over well internally at a White House in which looks matter. More than being lampooned as a press secretary who makes up facts, it was Spicer's portrayal by a woman that was most problematic in the president's eyes, according to sources close to him. And the unflattering send-up by a female comedian was not considered helpful for Spicer's longevity in the grueling high-profile job in which he has struggled to strike the right balance between representing an administration that considers the media the opposition party and developing a functional relationship with the press. So the Politico is obviously not a big fan of Spicer. You can see it in the way they reported this story. But, Jim, the hypersensitivity to Saturday Night Live in particular, Trump has tweeted many times about how he doesn't like Alec Baldwin's portrayal of him. There's not much of a self-effacing aspect to this president or to this administration, and you kind of need that to be able to do well in the job, I think.
Yeah, let's break this into parts. Is Spicer doing a good job? I think he's doing as good a job as anyone can expect. It's not like I was like, oh, if only Kellyanne Conway was up there. You know, she's had her own issues with misstatements and things like that. I don't think Spicer is the problem. From where I sit, the problem is that at least once a day, Donald Trump says something that is just flat out not correct, and it ends up with a great deal of incoming fire from the press. The most recent one was there have been lots of terror attacks that the media just hasn't reported. I don't think that's reasonably accurate. You and I have talked lots of times about the times where they've been very slow to attribute motive, you know, and classifying Fort Hood as workplace violence instead of Islamism. You take that reasonable point and Trump goes way beyond to assert that there are lots of terror attacks going on. The media is just not reporting and covering up. You could say they insisted that the rollout of the executive order went swimmingly or terrific or something like that. I think that's a rather implausible argument. About once a day, Trump goes out and says, the so-called judge. I mean, you can go down the list of the Trump takes a legitimate point and overshoots the marker by a long while. And then Spicer has to go out there and try to, offer the best spin that he can. And it's, you know, he kind of, you know, the president is putting the press secretary into a difficult spot at least once every 24 hours. So that's my my sense of where I'm seeing these things. If you're upset by your press secretary because Saturday Night Live, sorry, if your press secretary isn't being mocked by Saturday Night Live, your press secretary isn't doing their job correctly, right? That comes with the territory, right? Particularly for a Republican administration, right? If the Saturday Night Live writers don't think there's anything mockable, well, then you're not doing anything of consequence. So, and the next thing is that whoever you replace Spicer with, they're probably going to get mocked just as much. So, yeah, the left thing, last thing kind of left scratching your head is, like, why is the president worrying about this? don't we have, like, other problems going on? Isn't the Middle East on fire? Aren't we trying to create jobs? Isn't, you know, Obamacare still need to be reformed? Isn't there a really big stack of things on the to-do list rather than fume about what's turning out live? So, yeah, this is what worried me about Trump and the suggestion that he's deeply, deeply troubled by Spicer's performance based upon the Saturday Night Live mockery is a really ominous note for what can what otherwise could be a very productive presidency.
All right. Well, as of right now, Sean Spicer has a pretty strong job security as far as we know. So he does not necessarily need to pump his resume out to different places. But that doesn't mean there aren't jobs that are open. And if Trump is accurate in his projections, there should be a lot of jobs opening, which means that maybe you're hiring soon. Are you? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place, though, is not enough to find the quality candidates you're really looking for. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can.
With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to more than 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast.
Find out today, not tomorrow, today, why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter, get this, for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free and not have to post from site to site to site, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. All right, Jim, on to our crazy martini, and get ready to duck because people are going to throw tomatoes when I say this. Let's talk about the 2018 election cycle.
It was only a matter of something really unusual happening that spurs us to talk about it this early.
That's right. So 2018 is a big year in a number of ways. Obviously, every House seat is up. As we've discussed in the past, and most of you probably know, the Democrats are defending the vast majority of Senate seats this time around. And, of course, there's a lot of governor's races out there, many of which the Republicans also hold. One of the big targets is Florida, where Rick Scott is wrapping up his second term. And here is one of the things we're seeing from the Tampa Bay Times. John Morgan is determined to leave a political mark on Florida one way or the other. The Orlando personal injury lawyer, famously familiar from his ads on TV, buses, and billboards, is traveling the state and getting a feel from voters about whether he should run for governor in 2018. In doing so, he's teasing Florida Democrats with the notion of something they have never had, a well-known candidate with name recognition who's wealthy enough to fund his own race, just like Rick Scott or Donald Trump. Morgan says he's on a talking tour. When politicians say they're on a listening tour, he says it's a bunch of bull bleep. That's exactly what he said as TV cameras rolled last Friday in Tallahassee. Morgan is brash and funny and a little profane. His hour-long talk with key points scrawled on a yellow legal pad was a political speech, stand-up routine, and a lawyer's closing argument all in one. He made fun of his own TV ads that helped make him insanely rich by saying he likes to lie in the sun because brown fat looks better than white fat. So not packing a six-pack there. Just to give you a little sense of who John Morgan is, first of all, here's one of his ubiquitous ads that runs in Florida.
I've been doing my work now for over 30 years. Let me tell you what drives me every day. I despise bullies, insurance companies, manufacturers of unsafe products and drugs, corporate crooks, and business owners who try to beat good people out of money owed. It makes my blood boil. So do you know who I am? I'm the bully's bully. Call me if you need me. I'm John Morgan, the people's lawyer.
Oh, the people's lawyer. But here's how he got on TV back in 2014 when he was an advocate for medical marijuana in Florida. This is from News Channel 8 back in September of 2014.
And now to the video that has everyone talking tonight. This is attorney John Morgan admitting he's had a few too many as he calls out the Polk County Sheriff in front of a wild crowd. Morgan versus Judd on medical marijuana. News Channel 8's Melanie Michael is live in a Lakeland bar called Boots and Buckles where all of this went down. And Mel, this is the kind of stuff you really can't make up.
Indeed, Gail. Good evening to you. You know, the truth really is stranger than fiction. John Morgan seen cussing in a bar completely drunk and calling out Sheriff Grady Judd. You know what? And of course, somebody recording the entire thing on their camera. So tonight, we're talking about, instead of for the people, for the reefer.
For the reefer. What a great campaign slogan there, Jim. This is a quality individual who the Democrats might be seriously looking at in Florida.
You know, if listeners at home are saying, wait, where do I know that name Morgan and Morgan? If you remember, after one of the many humiliating defeats of former governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, he did ads for this law firm. He joined the law firm, although Sarah Rumpf did some digging and found out that he basically did almost no actual legal work for them. In fact, he had his law license was kind of suspended for a while because he hadn't taken the required continuing education courses. But this is, you know, apparently one of those law firms that you see popping up on your TV all the time telling you chances are you need to sue someone. I was reminded of an old Saturday Night Live sketch about Green and Fazio. We've pioneered whole new areas of accident litigation, including bystander trauma, phantom whiplash, and near collision stress disorder. Why not come in for a free consultation and let us help you collect the money you didn't even realize you were entitled to? I mean, we basically are looking at John Edwards with a slower metabolism here. And look, obviously his personal wealth would make him a formidable candidate. Florida Republicans should not sleep on this race or should not assume that they've got this race in the bag. It looks like it's going to be a very big primary for Florida Republicans. But I'll make an observation, Greg. This is Florida. This is Florida, the state that is, you know, increasingly diverse, growing and expanding. And Florida Democrats, never mind can they find a gubernatorial candidate outside of the same demographic that they ran in 2014. They can't even find one out of a different law firm, Greg. It's just the same old bunch of guys. Now, some people might say, look, you're sent instead of running an orange guy, you're running a tan guy. But yeah, so there we go. I'm sure, you know, this he'll be a strong contender. But in case you were looking at, oh, maybe 2018 will be a little more of a normal election cycle. Yeah, early indicators, don't count on that.
Jim, fun times. I'm sure we'll get plenty more outstanding Democrats as the 2018 cycle builds. And we'll, I'm sure, have plenty to talk about tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And a reminder to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter.com. Right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.